All right, so here's the thing. Inside jokes, nicknames, catchphrases, all those things, those all run rampant in my household, I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm sure they do in most, but like the fact that no one in our family ever gets called by their real name, you know, unless you're in trouble. My son's 33 years old. He's actually 35 years old. He's a married man, father of two. I still call him Boy. That's my nickname for him, Boy. That's not a lot of imagination, but there it is. I don't care how old he is. He's still my boy. My daughter is 30 and married. I still call her girlfriend. That's girlfriend. That's what I call her, among other strange nicknames. And you can bet that Charlene and I have some pretty unique monikers for each other, but you're not allowed to know those. In fact, I'm pretty sure if it ever got out what Charlene calls me, it might destroy my reputation. Just saying. Inside jokes. Inside jokes are crazy, too. Charlene and I were driving down the road one day, and the sun showed some big streaks on her windshield. Made me say, well, I tried to clean that window off, and it didn't work. And my response was, what'd you clean it with, a piece of cheese? And then we laughed so hard, I thought I would throw up. I still use that one once in a while. It still cracks me up. It's an inside joke. It's funny to us. It's great. But there's also catchphrases. So you got nicknames, inside jokes, and then catchphrases. Things that we say in my family that are just part of the way we communicate, and they're partly inside joke, right? Like at any point we're together, if someone does something just mildly irritating or teasing, one of the other ones might look at them and say, I just want you to know I love you in spite of yourself. That one never gets old. Another one that my kids were allowed to answer with growing up was the Army slang word hooah. They could say yes, sir, or they could say hooah. Either one. It was acceptable. It's a fully interchangeable word for multi-purpose use. Did you get your homework done? Hooah. Y'all have a good day at school. Hooah. And that one also morphed over time, and my daughter still says it once in a while by saying hooba. Many, many times at the dinner table, inside joke here, Charlene would give me a prod about something, sort of set me in my place, and I'd look over at my son with an exasperated look, and I'd say, boy, don't marry a sassy woman. And by the way, he knows he failed at that because my daughter-in-law can sass him with the best of them. But Anna, we do love you in spite of yourself. But one of my favorites, literally, one of my favorites, it cracks me up when she does this. It's like so maddening and yet funny, is that my sweet sassy wife will look at me once in a while. She'll correct me on something or tell me my favorite old shirt doesn't look right, or I actually have to shave for church, or I need to stop working late. And when I look at her like I'm about to say something back, she'll just point a finger at me and emphatically say, I say what I say. Like that's the end of it. Just like that. I say what I say. No reply warranted nor desired. The final word has now been spoken. I can try to argue that she can't just say what she says to me like that, but usually I don't get anything more than a second round of just I say what I say, with a smile that is totally disarming. There's a reason why the guys on my team called her the Sergeant Major, and yes, in fact, I did marry a sassy woman, but I wouldn't have it any other way. But the I say what I say is a phrase that we might use in our family, but let me ask you a question. How often do we see that in real life? Like, really? We don't always get folks who are willing to say what they say and then stand by it. Sometimes that can be a matter of deception. Maybe they say one thing and do another with the intent to deceive. And this is not to mean that you might not have to develop your positions a little bit as facts arise or when you gain a better understanding. That's different. That's called wisdom and humility. I'm talking about those times when you know that you know that you know that your position is correct, a matter of fact, a matter of principle, a bedrock of belief, and you say what you say with confidence. But the opposing side doesn't like it. And then too often we see the confidence begins to erode on the spot when the opposition begins to pounce. Listen, I know that sometimes it's simply a matter of having a fear of standing their ground, right? Literally like, say what you say, but they can't say it twice. Well, say what you say, but when questioned, can you even hold your own? Can you stand by your views, your beliefs when the tough gets going, where the going gets tough? When cancel culture comes knocking, and believe me, it will, can you say what you say no matter what they say? Recently, I listened to a podcast of a sermon, and the pastor was talking about this very thing, about having the confidence to stay the course. He talked about the fact that the enemy doesn't usually deal with the issues that we stand on. The enemy doesn't usually confront the actual elements of our cause. Instead, the enemy more often than not tries to defeat us by undermining our confidence, by making us question who we are. Whether we are capable, whether our cause is just. Think about it. It's a common tactic. I mean, did you ever hear about Tokyo Rose in World War II? She was an English-speaking Japanese woman famous for broadcasting daily in a sultry voice, telling American GIs they could never prevail. Their cause was not just. She didn't deal with military might or weapons. Tokyo Rose committed the ultimate act of psyops by just undermining the person more than the position. Oftentimes, it starts with a question designed to cast doubt. Not a real question, mind you, but a question that's supposed to set you back in your confidence levels. Something simple but devious like, are you sure about that? Or how about this one? What gives you the right? Or how about this question? Who are you to say that to me? Well, those aren't fact-finding questions. Those are confidence-killing questions. Those are questions designed to steal their confidence and demean the person who actually was trying to say what they say. Don't let them steal your confidence. We know the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, right? And often enough, that thief is stealing our faith, our confidence, our ability to say what we say and then be able to say it again. Biden's press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, she does that all the time. Ask her about the border, she'll attack Republicans. Ask her about the economy, she'll ask whether you've seen their latest self-serving poll. Ask about Biden's cognitive ability, she'll ask you why you would ever ask such a question, and then try to pretend that he runs rings around his staff every day. This is a trick. This is gaslighting. This is a tactic to destroy the confidence of the people who just have reasonable questions. And the only way to deal with it is to be able to know where you stand and be willing to say what you say and recognize that that attack, for what it is nothing more than a question designed to undermine your confidence. So when that happens, here's my suggestion. Ask them a question right back. When they say, are you sure about that? Just say, why would you ask that question? Because the answer is yes, so how about you? How about when they say, what gives you the right? Well, how about this? It's an actual right found in the First Amendment, or the Bible, or the natural law. Are you saying you don't believe in those things? Who are you to say that to me? Well, I'm a freedom-loving, flag-waving, Bible-believing, First Amendment-protected dude who believes you're wrong. Why do you ask? The bottom line is this. What I'm trying to portray to you is they will try to undermine your confidence. They, being the left, they will do all they can to steal your confidence. They oftentimes won't deal with your facts. They won't even deal with your beliefs. They'll try to undermine your confidence. They'll try to set you back. They'll try to get you to stop saying what you say. We're encouraged in 1 Peter 3:15 to be ready at all times to give an accounting for the things that we believe in. It's talking about faith, but I believe you can apply it to other things. So be ready. That's my point. Be ready. Don't just have a surface deep discussion point. Don't just have a surface deep belief. Understand why you believe what you believe so that when they question you on it and try to undermine your confidence, you can just look right at them and say, I say what I say. The opposition will often come in the form of an attempt to undermine that confidence. Oh yeah, it will. Just see it for what it is and say what you say. And that's a lesson that I learned from my sassy wife. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. There you have it. I say what I say, she says. And I don't know what to do with that half the time. Oh, man. Married a sassy woman. What can I say? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.